First Kings chapter number 1, a very unusual chapter. Let me give you the background just a minute. First Kings chapter 1, David now is at the point of death. He is well stricken in age. He is actually on his deathbed, and his life is beginning to ebb out of his body. His body is becoming colder and colder because of the poor circulation. And so death is coming to David. He knows he's going to die. Those around him know he's going to die. His wife Bathsheba here is by his side. And he has a son by the name of Adonijah, who you'll find in his story here is not by his dad's side, but instead he is trying to overthrow the kingdom. He is trying to become the king. He's trying to take David's throne away from him. And then you find another son by the name of Solomon that is in this chapter, who is the rightful heir to the throne, who David had already said that when David passed off the scene that Solomon would reign in his stead. And so, as the chapter begins to unfold here, Adonijah knows that his dad is going to die, and as Adonijah contemplates what he is going to do, he figures that this is a great opportunity for him to be king. He figures this is a great opportunity for him to assert his authority. And so he begins to plan out this party and plan out this festivity. And he gathers together 50 soldiers, 50 men, and he goes to David's general by the name of Joab, and he says, "Joab, we're going to throw this big fancy party, and we're going to have all kind of horses, and we're going to have all kind of guests, and I want you there, Joab." And he even invites the priest to come. But he doesn't say anything to Solomon. He doesn't say anything to Benaiah, and he doesn't say anything to Nathan the prophet. He doesn't say anything because he doesn't want them to know what's going on. And he tells his people, this little entourage of people, he said, "Now when I ride through on the horse, and when I ride through, I want you to shout, 'God save the king, Adonijah.'" And so all this was being contemplated. Well, then Nathan the prophet, they get word of it, and they go to Bathsheba, and they said to Bathsheba, "Bathsheba, we've got to do something about this." So let's pick up reading here as we get into chapter number 1. And so in verse number 28, the king and King David answered and said, "Call me Bathsheba." And she came out of the king's presence and stood before the king. You see, now David knows what Adonijah's plans are. He knows that right now Adonijah is trying his best as his brother Absalom to take the kingdom away from David. You remember the story of Absalom, how that he died an untimely death. But here, David, he knows that he's on his deathbed, and he knows that he doesn't have the army behind him. He doesn't have the soldiers behind him. He can't get up and go out and run. He can't get up and go out and fight. He can't get up and do anything physically. But he has one resource left. One thing that is very uncommon, one thing that you would say in your mind, "What are you thinking about, David?" David says this, "I want you to go and I want you to get Solomon, and this is what I want you to do. I want you to go and get my mule. And I want you to put Solomon on my mule, and I want you to ride Solomon down through the streets, and I want you to cry, 'God save the king, Solomon.'" Notice what happens in verse number 32. "And King David said, 'Call me Zadok the priest, and Nathan the prophet, and Benaiah the son of Jedidiah.' And they came before the king, and the king also said unto them, 'Take you now the servants of your lord, and call Solomon my son to ride upon my own mule, and bring him down to Gihon.'" Down to verse 38. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jedidiah and the Kerarites and the Perizzites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule and brought him to Gihon. Verse 44. And the king hath set with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jedidiah and the Kerarites and the Perizzites, and they have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. If I could give this a title, then I would give it a title as this: Riding the King's Mule. Very unlikely story. Here you find that Solomon, as they ride down through here, and he comes down through the, in verse number 45, Zadok obeys, and they put Solomon on this mule. And in verse 45, as they're riding him through Gihon, and they are rejoicing in the city, all this great entourage, all this great crowd. And by the way, they've thrown this huge party, for the Bible tells us back in verse number 9 of chapter 1, Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zohorath, which is by Eglon, and called all these men together. And so they were having this big barbecue. They were having this big festivity, having this big shindig. And here's Solomon comes riding up on a mule and breaks up everything. He's the next king, riding a mule. A most unlikely creature. For you would think that a king would be riding upon a horse, and maybe even a white horse. But you see, Adonijah had done that. He had gotten the horses. If you read the beginning of this chapter, he had gotten the horses. He had gotten all the festivities. He'd gotten all the fancy work together. And they rode down through the streets, and he proclaimed himself to be king. But the true king came riding on a mule. The king's mule, by the way. And I'm thinking about this, riding this king's mule, a very unlikely thing, something that the world would not accept, something that the world would ignore, something that doesn't really make good sense. But the king ordained it for his son to ride on the mule. The king had given authority to his son to ride on the king's mule. What the king had said came to pass, and the people saw it, and the people fell down, and they said, Solomon, you are the king, not Adonijah. And in fact, if you read the rest of the chapter, Adonijah feared for his life. Adonijah went and fell down and said, oh, please, Solomon, don't kill me. He feared for his life, riding the king's mule. Some of you here this morning, you come in, I don't know your need, but I do believe that the reason that God has impressed me to preach this message this morning is because there's somebody here today that has a need in your life that only the king can answer. Humanly speaking, it ain't going to happen. Humanly speaking, it's not your wisdom. It's not your way. It's not, you have tried it, and you've tried everything under the sun to try to work it out. But the one thing that you need to understand is that God's ways are not our ways, and our ways are not God's ways. But we have the one of the greatest weapons of all time right here, and that is the power of prayer. What man despises and what man tries to say will not come to pass. God says, just hold on a minute. I've got news for you. I'm going to put you on the mule, and I'm going to let you ride, and I'm going to let you see what God can do with a man or a woman that's obedient. That mule is a symbol here of a burden bearer. You know, when I think about riding a mule, the first thing that comes to my mind, maybe I'm just stuck in the past, but the first thing that comes to my mind when I think about riding a mule is Festus on Gunsmoke. Here's Marshall Dillon riding after the bad guys. He's got a stallion. He's got a nice horse. And here comes Festus on his mule. Any of y'all see that picture right now? Raise your hand. But Festus gets the job done, doesn't he? The mule is a burden bearer. My wife and I, a couple, 3 years ago now, I lose track of time, but we went out west and we went to Arizona where Miss Bonnie's going to be leaving this week, right? She's leaving this week and going to the Grand Canyon. We had the opportunity to go to the Grand Canyon, and we're up there on the top of the Grand Canyon. We're looking down, and we're looking down, and we're looking down. And way down at the bottom of the Grand Canyon, there's some people, and they're coming up the side of the mountain, and they've got pack mules as they're coming up the side of the mountain. You see, not only a mule is one that carries a burden, it carries a load, but he is sure-footed when it comes up the side of a mountain. Is that not right? You know a little bit about horses. When he comes up the side of a mountain, you wouldn't want a horse coming up the side of a mountain. You'd want a good mule coming up the side of a mountain. And beloved, when God speaks to us, we sometimes want to work at it all in our time and all the way. We've got a problem you're facing this morning. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe you've got a son that's outside the will of God. Maybe you've got a health issue. Maybe you're facing cancer. Maybe you're facing aging parents. I don't know. But you've got some burden you're carrying, and you're trying to load it and lug it up the side of the mountain, and you're not doing such a good job of it. It's weighing you down. It's pulling you down. My friend, listen, God says, if you'll give it all over to me, put your burdens on him, he'll carry them the rest of the way up the side of the hill. Most unlikely creature to be riding is a mule. But David said, I want you to ride the king's mule. I want you to ride the king's mule. And beloved, this morning, some of you just need to give up. It's not a matter of who you are, but there is a God in heaven that hears the feeblest of prayers. My friend, there's a God in heaven that somebody, if you would but trust him, if you would but just lay before him, and if you would but say, oh God, I've tried it. I can't work it out. I can't meet my financial needs. I can't meet my health obligations. I can't do this. I can't do that. But if you'll lay it out before the Lord and trust God and lay your burdens at the Savior's feet and say, praise God, he's going to see me through it. By the power of prayer, I will see it happen. Prayer doesn't change things. Prayer changes people. Amen. Why is it that if we, and I believe if I were to ask you, and Brother James, he didn't know what I was going to preach on. He didn't. But if I were to ask every one of you in this morning, in this building this morning, how many of you believe in prayer? I believe every one of you would say, yes, preacher, I believe in prayer. I believe if I were to ask you to raise your hand, I believe everybody to raise your hand. But I would ask you this, how many of you practice praying? There's a big difference in believing it and practicing it. There's a big difference, my friend, in lugging the burdens along with you, and you're struggling along and you're saying, I'm trying this, I'm trying that, I'm trying my best to be a good Christian, I'm trying my best to try to keep my head above water, I'm trying my best to take care of my aging parents, I'm trying my best just to keep the job intact and keep things are going, and I've got health issues and I've got this going on and I've got that. Hey, if you'll just come to the Lord and cast your burden upon him, he will sustain thee. Prayer will change your outcome. And here Solomon got on the king's mule and he began to ride. Now here's something I want you to know. The mule was used in David's day for the king to travel upon, but it was also considered the same thing as sitting upon the king's throne. To ride on the king's mule was considered the same thing as if you were to sit on the throne of the king himself. What does Hebrews tell us? That we are to come boldly before what? The throne of grace. That we may obtain mercy and find help in the time of need. Why is it that prayer is one thing that Satan will fight you and me over the most? He'll say, read your Bible. He'll say, come to church. He'll say, teach a Sunday school class. Sing in the choir. Play the piano. But when it comes to prayer, he says, just leave that off. You're doing okay. It'll work out all right. You don't really need to pray that much. Some of you are facing things that, humanly speaking, ain't going to happen in your spirit, in your mind. You've tried everything. You've tried the doctors. You've tried this. You've tried that. And still nothing's a-working. My friend, would you just agree with me this morning that Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly. Jesus says, if you would come unto me, lay your burden down at the Savior's feet. Give it all to Jesus. Lay it upon the mule this morning. And my friend, you'll find great peace and great contentment and great joy to know when you ride the King's mule that all's going to be well. Most people would prefer a horse, beautiful animal. Most people would prefer a graceful creature other than a mule. But the things that God chooses sometimes are entirely opposite. You say, preacher, are you against medicine? No, sir, I take medicine. Are you against doctors? No, I'm not against doctors. Please understand me. But I believe this. If you are facing something in your life, go get checked out, yes. But my friend, what does James say? Is there any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him. You pray over that need, over those loved ones. We've got a prayer list right here. You know, we do this on Wednesday night, and we publish this on Wednesday night. And these are folks that's got needs. There's one that's got cancer, one that's got kidney problems, another one's got kidney problems, another one's got cancer. I had somebody to call this morning, preacher, would you have the church to pray for us? Mentioned in Sunday school. Listen, my friend, there are a countless number of you sitting out here this morning. It ain't going to happen, humanly speaking. You ain't got enough money in the bank. You ain't got enough credit. My friend, but with God, it can happen. With God, nothing is impossible. If you ride the King's mule. If you ride the King's mule. I close with this. There's a missionary that was called to Africa. They had a small baby. His wife looked at him and said, husband, I'll tell you what, I'll go with you if you will promise me one thing. That the God in which we serve and the God in which you preach about, that he is able to take care of our baby even in Africa. He said, dear, the God in whom we serve is able to take care of our child in Africa or America. She said, it's fine. I believe you. They loaded up everything. They packed their belongings and they headed out. And they got into Africa and they went into the jungle area. And this story I'm telling you is not made up. It's not fictitious. It is a real, true story. They got back into the bushes of Africa, away from civilization, working with those tribal people. And all of a sudden, their little loved one, their little baby, got sick. Fever began to skyrocket to the point of convulsion level. And the wife looked at her missionary husband, and then in her faith wasn't as strong as her husband, and said, husband, you told me the God in which we serve, the God in which is going to look after us, where is God now? We need a doctor. There's not a doctor for hundreds of miles around. Our baby's going to die. And the husband looked at his wife and said, God will answer prayer. Went out into the jungle, fell down upon his face, and he prayed something like this. God, you've led me here. You have promised me that you'd take care of us. God, I'm trusting you for a miracle. I don't know how you're going to work it out, but I believe you're going to work it out. And he got up and went back. They were not far from a river, and all of a sudden they heard the sound of a motorboat as it came down the river. As he walked down toward the river, there docked a boat. And in that boat, you're going to think I'm making this up, but I am not. In the boat was a doctor. Hallelujah! But the doctor came, Sister Gail, and examined the little boy. And he said, there's nothing that I can do. We need ice. We need to ice him down. His fever is going to continue to go up unless we put him in an ice bath, and we've got to ice him down. And the wife looked at her husband and said, where is our God now? We're in the midst of a jungle where the temperature is 100 degrees. There's no ice around. There's no stores around. Husband, where is God? He said, I'll be right back. And he went back and fell down on his face and said, God, you promised you would take care of my children. You promised you'd take care of us. I'm trusting you for a miracle right now. I don't know how. I don't know where. But God, we need ice. And as the missionary was praying, all of a sudden the clouds began to form and darken. And as the clouds began to darken, it began to rain. And as it began to rain, hail began to fall. And they began to scoop the hail up and took it in. Iced the little boy down. And the fever was subsided. Only God. There is an unseen power. It doesn't matter what your last name, if it's a well-known name or not. It doesn't matter what family you come from. It doesn't matter what kind of house you live in, what kind of car you drive. If you are a child of the King, you are joint heirs with Christ, and He will hear you. He will answer you. He will meet your needs if you will pray and seek the Lord with your whole heart. And if you'll turn to Him in the time of need and try, instead of trying everything else, instead of relying on the horses, instead of relying on the chariots, I'm going to get on the King's mule. I'll ride the King's mule all the way to the palace. Amen. Because God's ways are not our ways.